The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's terrific, totally terrific, not just terrific, but totally, totally terrific Tuesday, as we join together again to support one another in seeking His kingdom first, advancing His kingdom first, and living for His kingdom first. Yeah, a lot of good English in that right there. First up, there are two kinds of fear. One is good and one is bad. One is smart and one is not. And we're going to talk about that. Next up, we need to constantly remember that fear that immobilizes or fear that terrorizes comes from the enemy, no matter who the enemy uses to speak it to us. Ooh. And finally, some people won't like to hear this, but the ultimate answer on whether we walk in faith or in fear comes down to our responsibility.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience. Local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Okay, now watch that. Surviving, living, and prevailing. I'm just going to look at that real fast. Does that mean cowering away? I do not see that. Does that mean sticking your head in the sand? I do not see that. Does that mean hiding in the inner closet? I do not see that. It is surviving, living, and prevailing. We're also going to look at, briefly, politics, entertainment, and current events, personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Now, yesterday, if you were listening to the show, you will know that what you think didn't actually get on the air because I forgot to answer the trivia question. So that was a whoops.
Oh. Yeah. Dear God, no.
Yeah, that's what happened, Mo. And here's the thing. The thing is, and then my phone is being wackadoodle. So it's calling people and taking calls in from like outer space. So I got a call from Pluto. He was just being goofy. Anyway, come on. Anyway, here's thank you very much. Live every night, dark on Monday. Open twice on Saturday. That's what they say in Vegas. Here we go. Here's the trivia question that I forgot to get the answer to, so I'm going to offer it up at the beginning because I blew it. It was my bad. I'm sorry. And actually, Joy answered it. Joy and Cordy answered it, but I didn't even recognize it, so it was my bad. Just one of those brain freeze moments. Here it is. Moses had help from a number of elders where the Holy Spirit touched upon them as well. How many of those elders were there that the Spirit of God came upon that were assisting Moses in making the best possible judgments for Israel? The number is not inconsequential, but it is an interesting trivia question nonetheless. That is our first and foremost trivia question. Don't forget, you can do prayer requests, praise reports. You can do pop questions. We do the trivia, of course. We do a lot of different things. Here's the bottom line to all of it. Any topic's pretty much open for conversation. Why? Because it's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's just us getting together, encouraging one another, strengthening one another in the Lord. And who doesn't need to be encouraged and strengthened in the Lord in these days? Everybody needs it. So keep in mind, it's that simple. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family. So that ought to help you out, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. All right, so the trivia question is out there. I did not give Joy her props or Cordy her props before, so we were just offering that question again because when you make a mistake, what are you supposed to do? We talked about it yesterday. Own it. If you make a mistake, own it. Don't try and justify it. So here's the question. How many elders did Moses appoint to help him share the load of dealing with the children of Israel? It was actually whom the Lord appointed more than anybody else, but we'll just, you know, skip it there and keep it simple. Just give me the number. That's what I'm looking for. All right, before we get into some of the stuff we're going to get into, let's do DNA real fast. Make sure everybody's on the same page. D, draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Daily. How often? Daily. What up? Daily. How often do you pray? Daily. Okay, that's daily. Second one's never be ashamed. Never, never, never be ashamed of the words of Jesus or be ashamed of his words or him or anything else. And then always be ready to
serve.
Serve. Serve, serve, serve. It's not always be ready to receive. It's be ready to serve. See that difference? So always be ready to receive. You're not a left fielder. Okay, that's not what this is. This is the kingdom of God. Let's get in sync there. All right, so I'm going to tell you this right now. You're going to have to deal with it, and the one who's going to have to take the most brunt of it is probably T, so you better be nice to her. By the way, if you are going to reach out to us, you can call in. I should tell you the number. 972-445-0770 if you want to call in. Also, if you want to text 214-210-8483. The person who's probably going to have to take the brunt, most of the brunt of today's whole thing is T, and I feel bad for her, so I'm praying for her up ahead of time. Why? Because I watched the news for 67 seconds yesterday. 67. I could, and I know everybody thinks, well, if you watch this one news, this one place is better, and this is news, and this is better. It's like, listen, none of them are good. I don't care what you tell me. Here's the thing that drives me. I should say instead of a drive, it's probably a putt. But here's the thing that putts me into nuttiness, okay? Everybody on the television is freaking out. They were screaming. We should all be afraid. We should all be afraid. Now, you know me. I'm not going to take, unless it's abortion or something that's very specific, I'm not getting into the political issues, and I'm not picking a side. I'm telling you to use your wisdom and use Romans 14. You got to do that between you and the Lord. But I will not stand by as a Bible-believing, born-again Christian and let people tell me my job is to be afraid. I mean, that's like, what planet does that come from? Okay? It comes from planet Duh. Don't we have that somewhere? Duh, or something along those lines. Because that's like, duh. It's unbelievable. These people sometimes are just, I don't know. I think that what they're thinking on all the newscasts is if they keep everybody afraid, then you'll have to watch the news more. I think that seems highly, it's like a conspiracy theory. Yes. That's what I think it is. I think it's a conspiracy theory. Here it is. I'm going to just lay it out for you. It's two kinds of fear. Two major kinds of fear. There's the awe, respect, appreciation, and reverence that we should have before the Lord, okay? There's moments where you have to be very, very humble, very, very careful, because God is an awesome God. But there's this other fear that Scripture talks about, and it's this expectation of terror, expectation of evil, expectation of disaster. And let me tell you that too many Christians are keeping the wrong type of fear, the wrong one. Let me read this passage to you. Let me see what you think about this passage out of Luke. This is Luke chapter 1, 69 through 74. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets long ago. Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of the enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear. There are too many people who are functioning in this fear, and it is destroying lives. Now, let's get real specific, because I don't mind. I think people should be aware, concerned, and careful of the COVID-19. Is that right? Is that a great reason? Aware, concerned, and careful. What I don't think they should be doing is hiding in the closet thinking that the sky is falling down on them. What I don't think should happen is people are so afraid that they cannot move. What I don't think should happen is somebody's fear is greater than their faith. Because guess who said that's a no-no? Jesus! Jesus said that's a no-no. And people are like, yes, but when he said it, it wasn't a disastrous situation. About to drown is not a disastrous situation? Let me look back at that. About to die. I feel that qualifies. I'm just going out on a limb. Here's what I'm trying to tell you, okay? 1 John 4, 18-19, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. And the one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. There is a respect and awe and appreciation that we have for God, okay? And there is this time of reverence where you come into his presence and you know what you do? You bow your head because the Lord's there and it's like, yep, he's the Lord, right? But what God doesn't want is this operation of fear where you are in terror all the time. That is what I would call, not only would I call that fear, watch this. I would call that bad faith. I would call that bad faith because fear is just faith going in the wrong direction. Okay, now how do you come to that conclusion? Well, you believe something good is happening. You're functioning that confidence and that faith. Or you believe something bad's happening and you're shaking at your knees. It's still a belief one way or another. None of it's happened yet. And you're operating in faith or bad faith. Faith that's really bad. And everybody's heard the acronym faith or fear. Fear stands for false evidence appearing real. People get afraid of stuff that hasn't happened, doesn't happen, could happen, might happen. Hey, guess what else could happen? You could go out tomorrow and there could be 56 trillion atom bombs that blow up all in the middle of Texas, and that would be the end of it. Okay? Is that could happen. Okay? Another planet could decide, forget this orbit stuff. I'm going to go smash into the Earth. That would be the end of that, right? There's a lot of things that could happen. There's a lot of things that have the potential to happen. And the one thing that nobody will ever admit is more people die through car accidents than almost any other way. Let me ask you something. Gonna stop driving? No? Yeah, probably not. That's all I'm saying. It's like there's this point where you have to acknowledge it. Acknowledge there's something going on. We got to deal with it. Let's handle it. Let's be mature about it. Let's be adults about it. But let's not be chicken little about it. Okay? I think that's a fair way to say it. I mean, I know people are like, well, what? Something we don't even know how to handle. Is it bigger than God? Then be quiet. There. That'll solve it. Is it bigger than God? Okay. No? Okay. Then don't be afraid, because Isaiah 40 makes it quite clear, 41:10, he's with us. And he says, don't be afraid. Okay, I won't be. All right. I got to answer that. How many? It's a tease right there. 70 people, 70 elders. That's how many we're helping out. All right, we're going to come back and got more for this. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving part, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
With his special guest today, Focus on the Family trauma specialist, Tim Sanford.
People, as they try to sort this out, they go through this they go through maybe a litany or a list in their mind and try to evaluate, well, you know, is this this and is this this, and what you said right there is the key, that the core of our strength, the core of our ability to go on yet for another day in the midst of what we would consider to be chaos, both socially, politically, and in other realms, is the Lord. I mean, the Lord gives us the ability. Until he blows that trumpet, we are not done.
Exactly, and that's where we come back to, people ask me, well, again, the why questions that people all across the U.S. are asking. And my best theological accurate answer I can give them is, I don't know. I don't stop there. That is an accurate answer. I finish my answer then by saying, here's what I do know.
Excellent.
I know that God is still on his throne. I know that God knew what was going on. I don't know why that. Here's what I do know. God is still a loving God. He still is in charge. Here's what I do know. Here's what I do know. Here's what I do know.
The David Spoon Experience.
Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him. He has a weird sense of humor. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. Those big ears really don't help. Will people enjoy his perspective on culture, politics, food, sports, and local and national news? I don't know. He's just a client. Tune in to the David Spoon Experience weekdays at 2 on KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Let me give two quick shout-outs, one to T and one to Jennifer for doing all the hard work that they've been doing. Good job, good job. So that's kind of my golf clap. Ready? It's a golf clap. Okay. I don't have my own soundboard. You have to go with what I got, you know? Okay, we got our next trivia question. I'm kind of in between two questions, but I want to make sure I get the question in and then not forget to tell you. Okay, how many loaves of bread did Jesus use in feeding the 4,000? Not the same as the 5,000. How many loaves of bread did Jesus use when he was feeding the 4,000? That's the trivia question. If you know the answer, 972-445-0770. Also, text in 214-210-8483. Don't forget about our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, we're going to go back to our discussion on fear in just a second, but before we get there, I'm going to throw this out there. I don't know. This is just a wild and woolly show. We're going to do a definition. So you want to get ready for one of our definition sound for our Yiddish sounds?
Hava, nagila, hava, nagila, hava, nagila, ve'nisrecha.
It's never a problem unless you see a group of people in a circle grabbing a chair, putting you on it, and then lifting you up and then singing that song. That's when it's a problem. Just going to tell you that right now. Here is the word. You know this word, but I'm just giving you more clarity on it. Ready? It's the word schmooze. Have you ever heard the word schmooze?
I have, actually.
Do you have an idea of what that means? Like, I'm schmoozing this guy, or I'm schmoozing this client. Do you have like, it's like, you know, it's not a bad word. It's like
is it grooming or like?
No. It's more like you're being excessively nice to try, like if I'm trying to get a client to sign.
Like kissing their butt.
Yeah, yes, that would
That's
be, yes,
one.
You could say that. That's perfect. That's exactly what that is. Yeah, most people know schmooze. The Merriam-Webster, believe it or not, has a definition for schmooze, which I think is fine. That Merriam-Webster has a definition for a Yiddish word. It's just weird. It's to chat in a friendly and persuasive manner, especially so as to gain favor, business, or connections. To schmooze.
Schmoozing.
Schmoozing. That's right. So if we go to some kind of event, radio event, like in the future when they're letting us go back to those kind of events and stuff like that, and then people come over and you kind of schmooze with them and see what kind of contacts or possible things you can do together. Okay? That's what schmooze is. You are now all the more – everybody's all the more better for that. Or not. One of the two. I'm not sure. Okay. Here we go. The next part of this I want to talk about, this is going to be a very direct – portion. Some people are going to go, wow, wow, when you hear this. But I want to talk a little bit more about this faith and fear element, because we already believe as Christians, Bible believing Christians, that faith is greater than fear. I mean, that's something that most of us, we believe that. Not that we operate in that. We just believe that's true, and we want to get ourselves to that place. Now, there's something that's interesting about fear in and of itself, and I'm just going to pick on Job for a second because the Lord left him in Scripture and allows me to do that. And that is in Job chapter 3, verse 25. Job said, "What I feared has come upon me, what I dreaded has happened to me." There is a very unique principle that happens for believers, and that is you go forward, you're believing, your faith is strong, things are going good, and then you get these nuanced, subtle attacks. Personally, I believe they come from Satan slash demons slash, you know, the dark side. But those nuanced attacks are the thing that you, in the back of your mind, that you've not said to anybody, not really talked about, but are kind of concerned is going to happen, happens. And Job gives expression to it. That thing that I feared has come upon me. What I dreaded has happened to me. And I think that Christians oftentimes feed that fear with what I just said in the last segment, bad faith. They feed that fear with bad faith, and then what they're afraid of has more of an opportunity to transpire or happen. And this is kind of the mindset, and just follow me. I think you'll catch this. This is kind of the mindset where the Lord will bless you, and then you make this statement. Yeah, but I'm just waiting for the other shoe to drop. It's kind of like that. Great things are happening. I'm waiting for the bad thing to happen to balance. Okay, I'm going to help you out right now. The universe is not balanced. Okay, there is no balance. Let me help you out. You're a sinner. You deserve to die. There is no balance. You're still breathing. In fact, the balance is really plus you. You're still breathing. Amazing is my whole point. And sometimes we have these unspoken fears, and the best way to deal with it, instead of trying to deny that it exists, because I don't know why people don't deny it, is to bring it to the Lord and say, hey, this gnawing thing keeps attacking me about this thing happening, and I don't want to walk in fear, and I don't want to give life to it, so I'm going to give it to you and surrender it. And then you take it to the cross, and you leave it at the cross. And if God allows something to transpire, he allows it. And if he doesn't, he doesn't. He knows what he's doing. But you're not always capable of carrying all those things. And so you got to take that thing, and you got to really do this. I'm not kidding you. You got to take this before the Lord in prayer, and you got to go here so that you're not the one holding it. Now, a lot of people have had this problem with death, and Jesus came along and completely changed, completely eradicated that process. Hebrews 2, 14 through 18, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. One of the things you catch or you begin to understand is Jesus delivered people from the fear of death, because many of us who have genuine faith believe that when we perish, not that we're looking to jump in the middle of a fire, but when we die, there's something else that moves it forward, that moves us forward in God's kingdom. And Billy Graham used to say that he's looking for the angels based on the parable that the angels came and took, you know, Lazarus, and then the rich man went to hell. So the premise here is that there is a slavery, a bondage that takes place when you have some kind of gnawing fear that just kind of sits there the whole time. And the biggest fear for years and years and years in society was death in and of itself. And then because Jesus came, that changed. That's why the number one fear now is not death, but speaking in front of an audience. People are more terrified about that than dying. And if you think about it to its conclusion, the Lord has delivered you from what would be understood as the greatest possible fear. Why would you think it unlikely that he would deliver you for your next big fear? If he's already delivered mankind from the biggest of fears, can we not fully be persuaded that he will deliver us from our situational fears? And the answer is that God can and will deliver us. The biggest question is, will we surrender it? I have a bigger problem surrendering. I believe God can do anything. I'm just one of those people that believe, I understand what certain theologians are saying and so on and so forth, but I think if God changed his mind, people say, God can't change his mind. Well, if he did, you wouldn't be able to tell him no. This is my whole point. And so if God changed his mind and blinked and we're all gone, it's like, yeah, we're all gone. There's nothing. But that doesn't mean that I don't go through it with him and say, this thing, I don't want this to happen. I don't want this to happen. You bring it. You surrender it. It wasn't like Jesus wanted to go through the pain, but he was willing to go through the pain. There's a big, you got to make that differential. And fear is what really, I think fear is the thing that puts us in this bondage. It drains us down. So typically, like I said, I don't talk about specific issues on politics. But right now, I'm really, really mad at all the news people, not at some of them, at everybody, not just on television, but on radio, on the internet, on all of these different connecting points, because they're encouraging fear. I was like, that is exactly what Jesus came to set us free from, fear. The number one fear being death. And then whatever number two, number three, number four, number five is. And so I'm very upset. Can I say it that way? I'm very upset about that. Not because their position is different than mine. It's one thing to, and again, people are going to absolutely get mad at me for this. And I know that, and I love you anyway. I don't think this is a candidate issue. I don't think this is a political party issue. I think this is a press issue. And it bugs me. Media stands for making everyone dumber in America. And that's what they're doing. You don't live your life by fear. Oh, that's an American thing. That's a Jesus thing. He's been saying that for 2,000 years. God's been saying don't live by fear for 5,000 years. It's not a new thing. This is the kind of rubbish that the truth needs to stand against. Science changes, but God's truth doesn't change. How old is the universe? It's 10 billion, 15 billion, 20 billion. They're still trying to figure it out. Who loves me? Jesus. That's true all the way through. Got it. Okay, I understand it. All right, how many loaves of bread? I think that's the question. How many loaves of bread did Jesus use feeding the 4,000? The answer to that is 7. 7 in that particular situation. All right, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break, we'll be back.
Just as I am, he reached down and see.
Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com. Or call 903-484-6637. That's 903-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
If Jesus was lying.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Like, thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Appreciate everybody listening to us around the country and around the world. We think that's kind of cool. Get to do that on the internet. It's kind of a cool thing.
We're an international show.
I don't know what that means. Here we go. Trivia question number two. Should I do the harder one or the easier one? All right. Paul preached on Mars Hill. In what city is Mars Hill located? Mars Hill located. What city is that in? So Paul preached that fabulous apologetic sermon, one of the best ever. I mean, just a fantastic, fantastic sermon. Preach that on Mars Hill. In what city is Mars Hill? If you know the answer, you can call in 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. Do not forget our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, don't forget our HeMustIncrease.org. It's a pretty simple reason why. The more you give, the longer we stay on the air. Yeah, there you go. How's that? That's a good way to say it. Let's do history, because I've got a couple, I got two really cool ones on here. So let's fire away with history.
Let's go live.
All right, let's start off with today is Garlic Lover's Day. Do you like garlic?
As long as I can't taste it, if that makes sense.
Wait, as long as you can't, you mean smell it or taste it?
Both.
Oh, okay.
Like, you know how they like the seasoning garlic or?
Yeah, no, I like that. And I used some the other day on a piece of chicken and Noelle goes, ooh, and I was just like, I guess I won't be using that anymore. When your wife can tell what's going on, you know, across the room, I don't see that as positive. I don't know. I might be wrong. It's also American Libraries Day, which they better be careful of, because there's not a lot of library activity going on now with the internet. It doesn't seem like it anyway to me. National Noodle Day. Good for me. I like that. I'm a noodles guy. I like mac and cheese. I like spaghetti. I like all that stuff. I'm good on all that. Here you go. Come and Take It Day. This is for those that don't know. Come and Take It Day is most likely connected to the American Revolution in 1778, where Colonel McIntosh referred to this statement when the British commander Fuser, who claimed to, that he should surrender, it was McIntosh who said, come and take it. Which is like, ooh, that's pretty bold. I like that. See, that's kind of like that positive, you know, I'm confident, you know. I mean, they knew they were going to die, but they were going to go out in a blaze of glory kind of mentality. In 1857, American Chess Association, I didn't even know there was one. I'm just going to be honest. They became organized in 1857. I think that was three or four moves after they started. Get it? Three or four moves. Chess. Okay. Thank you very much. On this day, 1889, Thomas Edison showed his first motion picture. 1966, LSD became illegal. They should have told David that in the 70s. That would have been helpful for me. And then finally, in 1962, James Bond, Dr. No, the very first James Bond movie. Now, it's not necessarily the first movie. It was more the first franchise movie. The actual first movie was Casino Royale, but that's for those that care. Okay, this... Nice way to say that. Let's go into this. I want to finish this. This is really, I think, an excellent topic for all of us to operate in, understanding faith, understanding fear, understanding this difference, and you keep thinking, oh, there can't be more. Of course there's more. You know, and before anybody does this, and please don't send this to me or send me an email, but you know, fear not is not in the Bible 365 times, one for every day. And that's cute. It's just not right. Okay? Have no fear is in the Bible 33 times. Do not be afraid is in the Bible 77 times. I think it's a total of 100. That's 110, right? It's 110 times. And then there might be maybe 30 to 35 other reference points to that. You use what's there. You don't have to make it up. So there's no reason. All right. Here's the simplicity of it. What does fear produce? Now, you know how you'll look at a situation, and you can look at it with faith or fear. You have that choice. And by the way, this is why Scripture says in 2 Corinthians 5, you know, we walk by faith and not by sight. You don't walk by what you see and can simply evaluate. That would be very scientific, wouldn't it? But Scripture doesn't tells you not to do that. Wasn't it Elisha who said, oh, this dude can't see what's really going on, Lord? Open his eyes. And when he opened his eyes, he saw all the chariots of fire who represented the kingdom of God just, you know, dancing around Elijah. So we don't see things very clearly. In fact, I think that's a grace to humanity, because if God pulled the lid off everything that's going on, I think people would be a little freaked out at all the angels and demons that were all around. I think people would be... Talk about crashes. There'll be a lot of problems. But fear produces things in us, and I want to talk about that because it has to be challenged, because this is what Jesus tells us to do. So it has to be challenged. Matthew 14, you know the text. I just want to get to certain points in it. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat, go on ahead of them to the other side, and dismiss the crowd. After he dismissed them, went to the mountainside to pray. Later that night, he was alone. And the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. So it's a rocky boat. Get it? When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were what? Terrified. It's a ghost. They cried, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I, do not be afraid. This is where Peter goes, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come out on the water. Come, Jesus said. So I was like, hey, the water's nice, come on out. Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. He walked on the water, W-A-L-K-E-D, past tense in the Greek and in every translation there ever was or is. Peter also walked on water. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me. All right, so there's two major things that take place when we are operating in fear. The first thing is when they were operating in fear in the boat, when Jesus came along, what did they say? Who did they say Jesus was? They go, it's a ghost. It's a ghost. Right? I always think of like the Three Stooges or somebody, you know, Abbott and Costello. Ah, it's a ghost. Or even Monty Python. Remember when Monty Python and the Holy Grail, and they came up and the guy's like, he's a really... you know, terrible monster. What is it? And they get up there and it's a bunny rabbit, right? So this is, and then oh, I saw a blue moon bunny rabbit. And then the bunny rabbit becomes a terror monster and starts killing all of them. The idea is that in our brains, we see these things and we go, oh, that's a ghost. Ah! And when we operate in fear, it shuts down our ability to see the divine. They couldn't see Jesus. Even though it was Jesus, they couldn't see it because they were afraid. And to engage with Jesus takes faith. So they saw it in fear. They thought it was a ghost. And when Peter, in his situation, you've heard me talk about this multiple times, but when he, on the water, after doing it, after walking on the water, when he saw the wind and the waves, what happened? He began to sink. And when we, even if we're on top of it, shut down our own ability to walk on top when we operate in fear. He's operating in fear, and he goes from walking on the water to drowning. Don't tell me that you and I haven't gone through that exact same thing, where you're on top, and you got the faith and it's going good, and then either something happens or you see something, and then that faith gets shaken, and what happens? We sink. Well, that's what fear does. It makes us sink. And in this case, I mean, you know, Peter's, you know, I mean, how bad is this? Lord, save me. He knew it wasn't like he thought something weird was happening. He thought he was dying. Okay, that's what he thought. How close is Jesus? Close enough to reach out his hand and pull him up. We just are not able to see how close the Lord is in our most of our situations because we don't see with faith. We typically will see with fear. Fear shuts down our ability to see the divine, and it shuts down our ability to walk on top of the water, and it causes us to sink. And I think I won't get any argument from anybody in regards to 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of sound mind. It is not God's desire for you and I to live our lives in the framework of fear. That's not what he wants. And I will tell you, and you already heard me talk about the acronym and stuff, I will tell you, the majority of fear is thrust upon not knowing what the next moment's going to bring. That's what it is. But if we were, what's the word I want to use? I want to be very careful. If we were good about it, we would know that whatever the next moment is going to be, the Lord is still going to be there in it. And that would be the way to process or the way to get through it. So instead of fear being this bondage or taskmaster or this robber or this stealer, it needs to be put in its place. And you don't have to have a ton of faith, but you're going to have more faith than you have fear. Because to some degree, they're going to cancel each other out. So you need just a mustard seed above to get to where you want to get to. See? All right. This last section is very tough, and I'm not trying to discourage you or anything. It's just tough because we have a responsibility in this. The answer, Paul preached on Mars Hill. In what city is Mars Hill located? Athens. John Gee, a friend of the show, has been there. He texted me and said, I've been there. It's like, wow, that's pretty cool. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere. You know, it's not just the audience that needs stuff. Sometimes the host needs a little bit of a, you know,
The show's all about you.
Well, this segment is. Okay. Not about the show, but I would say this segment, and it actually has a title for the DDD. It's called Joke Time. Is Christian humor allowed in teaching? We've actually had complaints. You know, you can't teach the gospel and use humor. That's why Jesus called James and John the sons of thunder, because it wasn't a humorous quip. You're right. Pretty bad exegetical process, but let's look at it. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. Proverbs 17, 22. A joyful heart is good medicine. A joyful heart is good medicine. You've heard that before. That's not new. You know that's the case. But what happens is people take these unique interpretations in Scripture, and they think that it applies to all processes. So somebody actually said to a member at our station, you can't use levity in the gospel proclamation because Paul says you can't do it in 2 Corinthians. And it's like, wrong answer. This is why we do the thing called read. That's always fun. And 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7 says this, in case you were trying to figure out where did that word levity come from. It's only in one translation. It's actually never used in any other capacity. But here is what he was talking about. Was I fickle when I intended to do this? Or when I made my plans, did I make so in a worldly manner in the same breath as to say yes, yes, and no, no? The only time that the potential word levity is used is when Paul is talking about meeting with the Corinthians. And the one interpretation you could use is, was I using lightness? It's not really the word for levity, just in case you're wondering. But did I use lightness when I made my plans with you? In other words, was I kidding around when I made plans to come see you? No. That's what Paul said. Not, you can never use humor. So whoever kind of swapped those two together really needs to like relax. I think that would be the key. And then for those that are just curious, you know, when the gospel talks about, this is kind of one of those classic things, when the gospel talks about making declaration and the foolishness of preaching, the word is moria, from which we get the word silliness. So Paul's like, yeah, preaching the gospel for the Greek people and for the Jewish people in large, it's kind of like a silliness thing. Yeah, that's what he said.
The David Spoon Experience.
Oh, welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Hey, don't forget livinginhisgrip.com, a place where you can get free music available for you from my sister-in-law and sister-in-law's husband. And that's September and Glenn, just to let you know. And that's nice of them to make that available for people. So, you know, that's the kind of thing you can think, hey, that's cool. Very cool to be able to do that. All right, this last part, I know a lot of you like me, and some of you are on the fence. I'm going to help you get off that fence right now. All right, here you go. Fear and faith. We've been talking about that the whole way. Right. We got to do our thingies, right? Okay, I'll do those real fast. Okay, real quick. How many parts did the soldiers divide Jesus' garments into? How many parts did the soldiers divide Jesus' garments? There's a specific number and a specific amount. Plus, don't forget our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okay, there you go. Now I didn't forget it, right? Okay. This forgetting thing does not help me. I'm not happy about it. All right, so here's the dealio. So I just want to get right to it. So you got faith and you got fear. We've been talking about it. And we can see what God's desire is. Okay, what's God's desire? He doesn't desire us to operate in fear. He desires us to operate in faith. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And you can see, I could go through passage after passage where courage is honored by God, courage that has a dependency upon God. It's not just courage in general, and I do want to make that distinction. There are a lot of courageous people. And I think that's cool. But that's not the same as courageous in God. When Jonathan went against the garrison of the Philistines, he said, the Lord can save by many or by few. It's up to the Lord. Let's see what happens. He was doing it in a dependence upon God. That courage came from God. When David fought against Goliath, it was a courage that was fully dependent on God. You come to me with this and that, whatever. I come to you in the name of the Lord God. See, there's a big difference there. So it's not just courage by itself. It's courage in God. But let us go to one of the great teachings of all time from one of the great teachers of all time out of Psalm 23, verse 4. It says this. And David said this. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And it's probably better in the King James, you know. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff comforteth me. But the big key in this whole process is, and this is where the responsibility comes, and this is why I get mad at the news, this is why I don't want you listening to people that instill fear into your life, because they're false prophets. David in Psalm 23, verse 4 says, I will fear no evil. It's not about how you feel about it. It's about fighting in it. And guess who has to do what? You and me, T and Jennifer, Don, Sarah, all the people that are part of this show, all the people that connect with, we have to make a decision to not be afraid. And listen to what David says and just connect it. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, though I walk through the darkest valley. I mean, he's talking about close up against death, right? Though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death. So there's death, and then death has a shadow. So a shadow is really close, right? And then he says, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. It is not a, I'm just not going to be afraid because I'm such a great person. It's because God is with me, I don't have to be afraid. And so I choose not to be. It's not about the feeling. It's about the fighting it and making a decision in the Lord. And so we can just so you can know, it's based on truth. Hebrews 13:6. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Remember your leaders who spoke to you the word of God to you, and consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. It's based on truth. It's based on what God says. It's based on his word. And it requires God's help to prevail. Psalm 34, verse 4, I sought the Lord, he answered me, and delivered me from all of my fears. The decision not to be afraid then becomes a dependence on the Lord. And instead of being afraid, and I don't even care what it is. I mean, right now, the country's dealing with the COVID-19, and they're dealing with the two political parties fighting each other. And they're going to be dealing with the aftermath, and then there's going to be trouble there. And then once that's done, I'm going to go with T. I think the abominable snowman comes down from the north and starts throwing snowballs at different states, and then they get slushed out in snowballs, and they can't move. I mean, it's just like all this stuff's going to keep on happening, but you can make a conscious decision to stand firm in the Lord and not be afraid. And the difficulty is that the atmosphere is filled with fear-mongering. And what that means is it benefits the world system if you're afraid. You know what it says? And I'm going to say this, wow, controversial. So God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That reference to world is people. Okay? Got it? Okay. But when it says anyone who's a friend of the world is an enemy with God, that's in reference to the world system. And what God doesn't like is the world system that tries to operate what? Independent of God, defiant of God, and in rebellion of God. And that's why Adam and Eve, when they ate the apple, Satan's lie was, you'll be just like God. You'll be able to do anything. They were like, okay. And it's like they ate it. And it's like that moment, it was man saying, we'll be independent of God. Hey, guess what? That never works. And it produces such, you know, a bad product. Well, when God says he loves the world, it's the people in the world that he's saving them from that rebellious system of the world. But there's a lot of people that love that system and will never be saved. They don't want to be saved. In fact, they'd probably be more miserable in heaven because they'd have to acknowledge somebody else as king, which they're going to do anyway. But, you know, the process here is to understand that what God has set before us is the power of decision to lean in him and not walk in fear, or to be absent of him and be overwhelmed in fear. And my encouragement is to stop letting influence. I don't care if it's the best, you know, it's the best show on television, Dave. I just love watching it. I just can't get away from it. If it's instilling fear in you, it's taking away from your life. Then restrict your watching. Forget the baloney that everybody's old, you know, like there's a couple of shows. Noelle and I used to watch a lot of different shows. Then we dropped the amount of crime shows because it just gets dark. I was like, that's enough. And so we try to do a little more comedy and so on and so forth. But we gauge what we take in. Now, we're not legalists. It's just that if you're watching it and I'm trying to eat a diet burrito, which is not good, by the way. I don't want to see somebody's blood and guts on the floor while what I'm eating already has what looks like blood and guts anyway. I don't like it. It grieves my spirit. It's like, it's enough. I don't need that. When you're engaging with some of these things in the world, whether it's on radio, television, internet, magazine, I don't care. If it draws you down, then cut it off. Don't give it the power. Because you don't have to. And God's with you. He loves you. You don't think he knows what's going to happen to this? The entire world could end tomorrow. Sure could. For those of us that believe, we're kind of hoping. Yeah, that'd be cool. Be dancing on streets of gold the next day, checking out my eternal home. Yeah. Barbecuing. I think it'll be great. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is choose faith over fear. You have an ability to make the decision and throw that dependency that you have into the Lord, on the Lord, and function in that power and in that strength, no matter what the circumstance is, whether it's a COVID-19 or a work situation or a relationship situation, doesn't matter what it is, because the Lord is always there for us no matter what it is that we're going through. Got it? All right. I'm down to 20 seconds here. How many parts did the soldiers divide Jesus' garments into? That would be four parts. That'd be John 19:23. Okay. This is kind of a impromptu show. I put this together at 12:30. Wasn't supposed to be the show that was planned out. Just letting you know. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. 23-hour break. Then we'll come back. More insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.